Okay, so I've been talking to a lot of attorneys lately that are talking about having to dust off a lot of client development or old prospecting techniques that they've used that, frankly, they haven't had to rely on for the last few years here because business has been really good. So I wanted to go over just for a little bit here, just a checklist or an idea of some prospecting ideas and ways to really set up your network. And first of all, I want to take a step back and look at what is a good prospect. If everybody is chasing a certain type of clientele, then is that the same type of clientele that you want to go after? And we're going to get into RFPs just real briefly. But just talking about, I was speaking with an attorney the other day who said that a lot of the prospecting calls they're making is when they find out that somebody's getting sued in the newspaper. Well, my question is you know, how many people are calling the same type of prospective client that person is? And just to give you an idea, if you want to have a little bit of fun, go out and get a speeding ticket and figure out how many emails or how many mailings you get from folks that want to have you take the online speeding ticket class. And you realize that there's a lot of people going after the same business there. So we're going to talk about proactive versus reactive client development, and obviously a kind of a blend of being able to do both as well. So let's figure out what motivates mainstream prospects. Well, there's a fear of potential consequences in terms of inaction or inertia or wrong decisions. There's also a curiosity about the actions of peers. Are certain people or general counsels prone to be using larger law firms or smaller law firms? Is there a curiosity about who other people are using? Have they addressed this issue and how? And then why haven't they been able to? Also, the curiosity leads them towards a herd mentality. There could also be politics within the organization. Is there top-down pressure or exposure involved? Is there bottom-up pressure or competition for their job? Lateral pressure, is there impact on other parts of the organization? And then obviously there's ego that motivates a mainstream prospect as well. And executives tend to be competitive by nature, and they want to be perceived as thought leaders. So getting into how to prospect, new business development. I do suggest that it's 10 to 20% of your time. And I would say that it's each individual's personal responsibility. A lot of firms have chief marketing officers, but there's a lot of attorneys. So this is absolutely something that you have to look at as your own individual personal responsibility. Don't rely exclusively on cold call prospecting. Create multiple channels of new opportunities. So doing some phone, cold calls and warm calls. In other words, where you've got a referral or some lead into that organization. Doing some direct mail, doing direct email, referrals, seminars, trade shows, existing customers. Going back to existing customers. That's one thing that I find a lot of folks don't do well enough is going back to existing customers and figuring out why are they using your services and are you only getting a small portion of the business or can you be getting more business out of them by working with other business units within an organization and securing business for other people in your firm or people outside that could be in your external network that you could be feeding them business and hence trying to get business back from them. Creating leverage in your circle of influence. To start with your most likely potential advocate, if you will, within an organization. Who's the person who can kind of get you in front of other key decision makers? Who's the person who could become your internal coach to figure out what political issues there are, or why they're using certain other counsel as well. Identify two lateral and one senior executive job title. Again, you want to sell to key decision makers. You don't want to sell to people who can't buy. So your users, your associates, or your counsel that may not be in a buying position. These are great folks to learn information from, but you want to spend most of your time trying to get to decision makers in the limited time that you have. And then I would suggest that you contact all of them simultaneously. You're trying to create that buzz or trying to create that herd mentality outside of that to try to really get into a business conversation, not only with the general counsel, but I do suggest all key players, if it's a chief marketing officer, chief operating officer, CEO, etc., using all methods simultaneously really to expand and grow your pipeline and try to get them from not looking to change to begin to explore looking. Again, this is a proactive type of situation, not reactive where you're hearing about organizations that are getting sued and that type of thing. So, client development process and using that to prospect by the phone. Nobody likes picking up the phone. They'd rather do 100 other things than to do phone prospecting. And frankly, a lot of folks don't like getting phone solicitation. It is not the greatest way, but it is a way. So some tips to possibly overcome some of that is to initiate buying cycles by causing them not looking to start looking. You should prospect into existing accounts. I think there was a study done by Gartner a few years ago, that said that 85% of business comes from existing accounts, so absolutely calling into those. Prospecting scripts lead with critical business issues and point to a reason for which you have a vision of how they could use that. People place three times as much value on loss versus a gain. So talking about business issues, not talking about legal services or putting yourself in a box and creating yourself as a commodity, but really getting into a legal or into a business conversation with them. Call a particular job title or vertical on a given day. Call at decision maker levels. No budget if they aren't looking. And then avoid stereotypical phone behavior. How do you like to be approached on the phone? Is it critical business issues? Are they helping you to solve a problem? Are they trying to push something onto you? Manage the rejection and don't take it personally. Make changes to your script and track your success rate. And then your objective is to gain incremental interest after about 30 seconds. This is what people call like an elevator pitch or something like that. But try to gain incremental interest so that you can take the call even further. And always be prepared in case they say, tell me more. Stereotypical phone behavior. Well, if anybody's been on the other side of the phone, they could probably list these out. But they're really limited to seeking an active evaluation. So, you know, are you trying to get them in to evaluate you, or are you trying to find out what their current goals and their business needs are? And then many people are unprepared and they just wing it. They pick up the phone and they just start spouting off things, and hopefully that gets them a meeting with somebody. Calls sound too scripted. I do recommend scripts, but I don't recommend sounding scripted. So if you do have something that you could write out, whether it's a success story or a key issue that you're trying to get in front of a key vertical, make sure that you practice that. I even suggest calling a colleague and trying it out on them to see if that is something that that works for them. The calls are generic, regardless of title or vertical of the industry. That's a stereotypical behavior. And then a lot of times it's a sales behavior, and you're leading with it. In other words, leading with, we have legal services, or, you know, I'm a labor and employment attorney, or I'm a products liability attorney. That kind of tells them what the it is. And once you start talking about it, you become a commodity and you become a price. Again, you're trying to establish a level of value with them, not have yourself boxed into, okay, well, they do product liability law, and, how much are they versus who we're using currently, or, you know, what's out there in the market. A lot of times they initiate contacts too low, and really in the user community, to buy any kind of unbudgeted services. When you're talking about key decision makers, the definition I would put around that is people who can actually go out there and get unbudgeted amounts of money or be able to move the process forward, as opposed to somebody who can't. And as a telephone prospecting, just as an example, you want to be able to have the name, your name, the name of your firm that you've been working in the legal, working with a specific industry. So if you're talking to a manufacturing industry, if you're talking to products, if you're talking to any kind of industry, airline, et cetera, trucking, you want to be able to talk to, I've been working with people in the trucking industry, or I've been working with senior executives in the trucking industry since a certain year, what their job function is, what their critical issue was, what their goal was, and then you want to share with them that success story. Now, this is where you want to be careful as far as naming names, if that's something that you feel comfortable with, if that's something you want to get approval on, but that is something that you're going to want to secure before you start naming names. Again, you're generic, but you're specific enough to an industry or vertical type. Giving you an idea, there are five parts to an effective success story. You've got a targeted conversation based on industry, job title, or goal, what their current situation was, the capability or the need that they had that had to tie back to that current situation, what the benefit statement is, and then the results. So just as an example, I worked with a general counsel of a Fortune 500 manufacturing company who wanted to supplement his legal department with expertise in products liability issues. Their current situation is that they had three attorneys that handled mostly labor and employment and compliance issues. With the launch of their new product line throughout North and South America, they needed a way to manage any liability issues to each country's laws. He wanted to work with a firm that has offices in Latin America and could proactively manage cases at a local level and reduce litigation costs. We provided him with this capability. Over the last year, they realized a 30% cost avoidance to what they budgeted to handle litigation issues and improved market penetration by avoiding a lengthy public litigation issue. Now, again, you're not guaranteeing the results. You're saying what capability you provided to them and what the results that they saw in that. Again, you're talking to a key decision maker, what their goal is, and the capabilities tied to that. You're not making guarantees as to what you'll do for them. You're just stating a success story. So some additional telephone prospecting tools. Talking about voicemail, most of the time you end up having to go over to voicemail. So my suggestion is to call back at different times. Leave a voicemail script referencing other clients. If you're not comfortable, again, naming the client's names, a lot of times firms have these on their websites, then naming a vertical industry. You're trying to get them to think, oh, this person understands my world. Call a second time referencing the first call, then call a third time referencing previous calls and leave a menu of issues or a menu of goals. You've worked with people in the trucking industry and they said that their business goals are this, this, and this. All you're trying to do is put the bait out and hopefully they latch onto it. The other thing is, call between close on Friday and open on Monday. What I found is that a lot of executives will end up clearing out their voicemail late in the afternoon on Friday afternoon. So a lot of times the first call that you end up getting is, or they'll end up getting on Monday morning, is your voicemail. Administrative assistance. My suggestion is call when they're not there. So if you are calling between Friday and Monday, or if you're calling on Saturday morning, just spending a half hour to an hour. A lot of times you may end up catching some key executives in their office at that time that you may be able to get right through to them. Ask for voicemail if you get through to an administrative assistant. Just leave a brief script. That's fine. And then if you don't feel comfortable with that, offer an introductory letter and ask for a review. Treat other people, administrative assistants, as you would want yours to be treated. And a lot of times empower them. Is there a way that you can fax something over to them or email something over to them and get them to walk that into that executive? You know, something along the lines of, you know, I don't know if this is something that would be relevant to them, but I've worked with other manufacturing organizations. I've worked with other general counsels of manufacturing organizations, and here's what we've done. Do you mind taking a look at that and seeing if that's something that would be of interest to them and giving me a call back? Again, you're empowering the administrative assistant where a lot of times people don't. Now, in terms of putting together a script, it's okay to use something similar in your email if you decide you want to put that into a fax, if you want to leave that in the voicemail. The key takeaway on this is all you're trying to do is get them to the point of tell me more. If that is a menu of goals, as I said, in terms of three key issues or three things that you hear all the time that are business issues, and that, again, business issues, not legal issues that they're dealing with, or if you want to state a success story, all you're trying to do is get them to, you know what, I want to be able to have a conversation with this person and learn more. Email prospecting. Just a few administrative things on this is format. Make sure that you use plain text, no graphics. A lot of times that gets caught up in people's spam mail. You're communicating. You're not trying to market. You're communicating. Use large enough text and then have something that will show up clearly in the preview window. A lot of times people, when they get 200 or 300 emails a day, that's all they do is just look briefly into the preview menu on there. The content. Contact multiple executives simultaneously. Contact your likely advocate as well as one higher and two lateral executives. So if you've got somebody that you're typically dealing with within an organization, general counsel or if it's another C-suite type of person, if you will, then absolutely try to contact them all at the same time. Send the same message to each one. And then make sure that you send it to each individually, not doing CCs to them. And the goal is to create leverage, and you're trying to get them to, again, the herd mentality and create a conversation. The subject line will determine if they even read the first page. Avoid gimmicks, things like urgent and some of those type of things. If it's a referral, then you want to make sure that you detail who that referral is into that site so that their name pops up there. And the goal is to get them to open up your message. Shorter the better. You want to be able to do that one page maximum. Reference other clients. Leverage, again, the herd mentality. offer specific measurable results. In other words, you know, if there were measurable results like their litigation costs were reduced by such and such, or their time to market was by such and such, if you're able to include those things, that's the stuff that's going to get people's attention. Make your email sticky by including your V card or other ways that they can look you up, whether that's on LinkedIn or some of the other ways. Include a relevant call to action. This is an opportunity to have a discussion. If not, referral to somebody else. And then offer to contact the administrator to schedule by name if possible. Okay, touching on a couple things here. As far as different types of technology, I'm always asked about Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn and Plaxo and blogs and all those type of things. Those are all great things. I do suggest, and kind of the rule of thumb is on some things like Twitter, is you do have to maintain a level of, kind of a 3 to 4 times a day maximum on driving people out there. The whole point of Twitter is as a microblog to push people to an informational type of site. So if you have a blog, making sure that you update that continuously, at least once a week, sometimes even more than that. But you're driving people that you're trying to target to a specific location so that your name, your exposure, your information is in front of them as much as possible, but as far as keeping it relevant to them as well, so that people actually look forward to your blogs and they find it as a valuable asset. Just leveraging some other prospecting technology, though, there's a www.WOMMA.com, which is Word of Mouth Marketing Association, Jigsaw.com, of course, LinkedIn.com, Lead411, emailretriever.com, which if you're trying to find the name of somebody within an organization that and you're having a tough time finding their email address to get a hold of them, that's a way of doing it. Coldemailing.com and gotowebinar.com. And of course, there's LinkedIn, there's Plaxo, and some of the other sites that folks go to. Facebook, I kind of would stick away from just because it seems like that is more of a personal kind of for your friends and that type of thing. As far as at least utilizing that as a business resource. But if you're going to use the resources like LinkedIn and Plaxo, do yourself a favor and try to get involved in the groups that are on there. And that way you can post your blog, you can post discussions. And it's just a great way, again, of getting in front of people that you're trying to generate business from. So if you are an attorney, if you're trying to get into a business group, for instance, or an online networking group, it's a great way to be able to expand your network to be able to do some of those things. The other way that you can leverage this technology is if you find out that somebody has just accepted a new position as a general counsel with a company, is to be able to really put a tickler file on that and give them an email a month or 2 months into their tenure, or as early as when you find out about it, just sending them a congratulatory email. I just learned that you've just started with the company. Look forward to catching up with you in the future. If you want to give them 3 to 4 things on what it is that you do, factual statements, that's a great way of pursuing that as well. Suggested approach for seminars. One of the things I hear attorneys talk about a lot is that they're giving seminars, and those are all great things. But how could you maximize your benefit in terms of utilizing seminars? Inviting people from the same vertical or with the same job function. That way you get a lot of good back and forth in the room. Seminars provide a way to leverage experts and for you to build a pipeline. You offer a brief, firm introduction. And again, you don't want to spend 20, 30 minutes telling them about every office that you have and all the different areas of practice. They don't care. What they want to get to is you want to ask the questions that, so that you can target and you can make specific your pitch to them. Survey the audience in advance of the seminar to determine their goals and prepare a representative agenda. Have the audience prioritize the top 3 goals and then take the other ones offline if possible. Take each goal and ask questions about them and then try to develop a solution for them or other solutions that have worked or capabilities that have worked for other people. It's a great time for a success story there. Describe or demonstrate the offerings that provide the solution you just developed via the group or via the group questions. So again, they ask questions and tie success stories to that and demonstrate your offerings in that. Show the key players for each goal. So in other words, I talked with a chief marketing officer who they said their issue was this. This is the capabilities they were looking for, the current situation was, and here was the end result. Share client results. But again, there's nothing more powerful than possibly bringing a client with you to a seminar so that they can get up and speak on your behalf for a few minutes. But again, you want to tread very lightly on this in terms of not just throwing names out there. Your objective is to get attendees from not looking to change to looking to change with an idea of some sort of value of the solution that they could see. Trade show strategies. Now, you know, trade shows are great if you're trying to find people, you know, other attorneys that you're networking with. For specific trade shows, if you're going to financial services trade shows, or if you're going to this, you're going to that, those are great opportunities to be able to expand your network outside of the legal community as well. So attending events business people attend, not just legal or attorneys attend. Attend events that your competition doesn't attend. I can't stress this enough. Years ago when I was with West, I worked several trade shows, and everybody kind of as a cattle call ran through there, and it was adult trick-or-treating. But I did a bankruptcy show one time that was specific just to the bankruptcy market. I was the only vendor there. I had a chance to speak. I had more results from that than anything. And as an attorney, I could recommend to you going to events that other people don't go to that you can get in front of other business people. Become a speaker if possible, discussing business goals and how the law may apply in a system. Attempt to cause buyers to consider business goals, not just their legal goals. Focus on specific potential capabilities that you provide. Offer business success stories for appropriate titles. Have sample cost justifications for your offerings. And then offer proof if necessary. So again, talking about success stories. Meet in a location away from the trade show floor, possibly with a reference account. So if this is a chance for you to get away from the trade show and get away from all of the herd and have a good business conversation over a cup of coffee, what a great time to do that. And then if you can, have names of reference accounts if you can't have a client there as well. Talking about RFPs, I'm just going to touch on this real briefly, but RFPs, again, we talk about proactive versus reactive. If you are just starting to apply for an RFP that's hit the streets, the chances are that you have lost. Because the fundamental question is, why is that company going out to an RFP? And if they are and they've gotten to that stage, chances are that somebody in the organization said, we need to have three bids. If they need to have three bids, then chances are they have a what we call an A group that they are, an A firm that they're already locked in on, that's really helped them build the requirements. And sometimes when you're reading through an RFP, I'm sure you can tell, well, you know what, that one's kind of wired for this group or that one's wired for this group. If you see specific things in an RFP, roughly 90% of the time, you're not going to win those RFPs unless it is just a straight price competition type thing, in which case you really have to ask yourself, do you want to play in that game? Is your service a commodity? For some firms that specifically price themselves lower than other firms, that may be a strategy because you know you're going to be able to go in on a price thing, but really you're having to sift through a lot of RFPs to figure out which ones are strictly priced and which ones have been wired for your competition. And again, are people willing to pay a little bit more for organizations that have helped them throughout the entire process, helped them create a vision of what their solution is, have helped them avoid risk or discuss business issues or risk issues throughout their entire organization? Or are they going to take a chance on an organization that just comes in with a one-size-fits-all type of legal approach? Just a question to ask yourself before you commit your time, effort, and resources towards a very expensive process, which is answering RFPs. If you're not in it to win it, if you're not the one that's defined the requirements, then chances are you're not going to win it. So sending an email response to an unsolicited RFP. Now here's another approach is, it's okay to send a response to an unsolicited RFP that just simply asks for meetings with key decision makers. If you have an opportunity to go in there, and this is the first time you've had a chance to engage this organization, it's perfectly fair to say, you know what, in exchange for us responding to this RFP, we want to have a one-hour meeting with each key decision maker that's part of this process and really determine what your business goals are. At that time, if they grant you that, then go in there and ask your business level questions, try to create value, try to help them find value in your solution. And again, if they've agreed to that, then by definition, you've agreed to respond to that RFP, but at least you're in the game and you've at least had a chance to find out what their key business goals are before you respond. So getting started, and we're just going to run through these just as a wrap up here. Creating a 30-day tactical calendar. Grade your top 10 opportunities, identify your top 5 opportunities, and then prepare a tactical plan to convert an evaluator in those organizations into a buyer. Schedule a redirect call to recap your goals, reasons, and prospect solutions. So if this is something that's just been kind of out there for a while, try to schedule a call. Maybe you've been talking about your legal services and you haven't been talking about their business goals. What a great opportunity to go in there and schedule a meeting whereby you could talk about their business goals and their organization's business goals. Clarify a solution and attempt to obtain necessary measurements and metrics. Document the results via what I call a control letter, so that you're summarizing what their current situation is, what their goal is, the capabilities that they said they needed, the value that they saw, and then next steps, confirming all that and moving towards next steps. Facilitate a written cost versus benefit for all the evaluators. And I say cost versus benefit, not ROI. ROI is thrown around very frequently, and there's chances are there's a CFO within that organization who's forgotten more about ROIs than you could ever think of. So in terms of creating just a simple cost versus benefit, taking all of the how they're doing it today, what the value that they said that they could find into it, and then subtracting out how much the cost of your services are, what's the cost versus benefit on that? Developing an implementation solution for the evaluators. So not just talking about the day that you actually get the business, but how are you going to implement this? Where are different key metrics or key times in the future that certain deliverables are going to be hit, or that you'd like to get back together? So that, what a great opportunity to try to develop more business, but also to make sure that you're on the right track with them and make sure that you're a successful implementer for them. Team up with another attorney and brainstorm ideas to meet new accounts. Joint seminars if possible. Identify other professionals and other vocations to develop a network. Get outside the legal community. Meet with one past or current client per week. Put a business development plan together. Identify customers for creating success stories. What a great resource if you go back to your existing customers and just say, hey, can I talk to you about how we worked well together? These are folks that are willing to help you if you've done well by them. And then if you have proposals out there, set a timeline by which you withdraw those proposals. If it's 30 days, if it's 60 days, my suggestion is no more than 30 days. If it's been out there for more than 30 days, there's been a lot of changes. Is to simply withdraw that, try to re-engage in the process, or get it out of your pipeline. So planning basics. A current territory demographics. Try to identify what territory you're trying to work into demographically. And then projected demographics. Determine an overall strategy to meet your revenue goal. Identify the top 10 current client targets. Who is your target market? By practice area. Is it a size of company? Is it a vertical? A billable rate? If you're billing in the 150 to 200 range, you know what? That eliminates a lot of competition right there. If you're billing in the $500 to $600 range, that chances are there's some organizations that may be too rich for their blood. So keeping those type of things. What kind of micro strategies can you use to get to them? So trying to do a little bit of everything, whether it is your seminars or trade shows, whether it's doing the social networking, that type of thing. What type of micro strategies can you use? Develop a sticky word of mouth marketing strategy. So something that is simple, repeatable, something that your customers or your prospective customers can repeat as well. Meet with one client per week and ask for them to bring a business level executive with them. So a CEO, CFO, CMO, etc. So that you can understand the full business issues within the organization. And then leverage existing business so that you gain referrals. Again, 85% of your business is going to be referral business, or it's going to be some sort of organic business that you have from within an existing client. Identify attorneys that complement your practice well to clients' needs and go on joint meetings, but set ground rules up front. Who's going to control the call? Who's going to control the follow-up, etc.? And then eliminate bad opportunities early. Just qualify, qualify, qualify. You've got a limited amount of time to be able to do client development. Make sure that you're spending that time wisely. So going back to habits of a rainmaker, and I polled about 150 what people referred to me as rainmakers of a certain that had a certain level of book of business, and here's some habits that really just flowed out of them as common threads. They attract and refer clients. They're always asking questions to find out if they're the right attorney for them. And then they're always looking to fill their network's pipeline as well as their own. If you're going to be in a network, Try to find referrals for other people within your network. You'll get back what you give tenfold. They attract and retain clients. They're always looking for opportunities in places where others simply don't look. And they develop and maintain relationships, but they qualify those relationships. Look at companies' business goals with an eye towards helping them achieve them. A lot of times they're deal makers, so they're looking for ways to bring business opportunities to their clients, then handle the legal aspects of the deal or refer part out to avoid any kind of conflicts that may come up. They stay on top of current business trends and events. They don't make excuses. They learn from their mistakes, always looking to improve and take constructive criticism, and then they follow a process whether that's consciously or unconsciously. So setting up your network, we're going to talk about internal and external. Internally within your firm, members of the same practice area, who can you contact regionally, nationally, internationally that's inside your same practice area? Members of complementary practice areas. So if you're in corporate, how can you possibly complement with your litigation practice or you know anything like that? Regionally, nationally, internationally as well. Form deal teams where appropriate. Update others on business, involve them where you can so you can grow your deal. If you're going into an organization and you're handling their labor and employment needs and you realize that there may be a huge need for products liability or a huge need for tax or something like that, what a great opportunity to grow that deal across your entire firm. Setting up your network externally. Develop small groups of other professions and meet with them once a month just to share references and opportunities. Offer references on your work, so names, case studies, publications, etc. I can't tell you how many times I talk to attorneys where they have friends who have that are attorneys as well who have no idea some of the work that they're doing. If you're doing great work, make sure that you're letting other people know that. Otherwise, they simply won't know. Ask how you can assist them to grow their business. What a great way. Approaching your network the way that you'd want to be approached. What if somebody came to you and said, how can I help you grow your business? And they were inside your network. Well, now your ears would open up a little bit. Commit with them to bring 1 to 2 new members in each month. Become a speaker with a vertical market and add a vertical each quarter. Or add to that vertical each quarter. Research and meet with attorneys from other firms as part of your plan. One meeting per week, bring them business if possible. So if it's just coffee, meeting with somebody at another firm that does other work, absolutely try to meet with them once a week. And again, going back to blogs, writing forums, e-newsletters, those are all fantastic things. Just keeping them timely and up to date and relevant to people's needs. Facilitate client meeting groups. What a great way to be able to get all your clients together so that they could identify possibly issues that may be going on within a certain vertical. And oh, by the way, what a great way for them to be able to speak of how great things are, your services are. Referral rules. Always be asking for referrals, no matter what. I mean, you just never get referrals if you don't ask. It's shaking the tree. Create enough value for your prospects. If possible, facilitate an introduction. Referrals are great, but if you're able to facilitate an introduction, it makes it all the more powerful. Have a reference background check on everyone that you're referring business to. The last thing you want to do if you're referring business is all of a sudden that person turns out to be not that great of a person to refer business to, and that makes that reflects back on you. Provide good referrers with a positive experience. Always be looking for ways to refer business to others. Give more than you take. Asking business questions helps you identify all opportunities. This may not be a great opportunity for you, but it may be a great opportunity for a colleague of yours. Never let your business or never let your referral base down. Never, never. Timely return of calls, of emails. Establish interest up front, or at least you'll help them identify the right fit. And this just goes through, if you're calling, try calling an airline or try calling a major credit card. How many times do you say, well, or do they say, just hold on a second, I have to put you through to somebody else. Be their point person and get them to the person that they need. You'll come across as a champion. So that's just kind of a brief overview. And like I said, there's a lot of folks who are doing this naturally. If this helps you, I'm very thankful and hopeful that it does. If it shaves a couple strokes off your game, all the better. If you'd like to contact me for my full client development CLE class, my number is 850-893-8000. 8984. You can also visit my website, which is Wilcox, W-I-L-C-O-X, -legal.com. You can visit my blog at lawfirmrainmaker.blogspot.com. Or you can email me at andrew@wilcox-legal.com. And I wish you all the best.